What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan from The Athletic taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. We bring in our good friend Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer at ESPN, to Morning Drive here. Greg, what's going on, brother?
Hey, boys. Hey, Adam. How you doing, buddy?
Good, Greg. How are you?
Hanging in here in I'm in Santa Clara County and California, which is it feels like we've been dealing with this for maybe like 2 weeks longer than most of the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Just because of the measures they took early on, and they were the first ones to ban mass gatherings and stuff like that. So I feel like our stores have had no toilet paper for a little bit longer. just that's the way it seems, at least.
Greg, how have you gone about practicing social distancing?
Oh man, well, I mean, first of all, like I was mentioning, the county and is one of the ones in California that has the what is it called, the shelter to leave? I think it's called,
yeah,
or whatever it is. That's been enacted for about a week now, or so. And so, I mean, you know, basically, you're stuck in your house for most of the day, outside of running out for groceries and pharmacy stuff and things like that. So, I work from home anyway. It's kind of surreal. And I think in some ways, Adam can probably profess this too. It's kind of surreal to see people discovering the joy and pain of working from home when I've been doing it for about 13 years now.
Yes, I can relate.
Right. So in that sense, it's been kind of interesting to see how people are reacting. But my wife is also obviously working from home. She works for Apple. And they closed their building a couple of weeks ago to most employees. So we've just, luckily we've got a two-bedroom apartment. so she's in one room banging away on a keyboard. I'm in the other room banging away on a keyboard. And it's been all right so far.
Greg, obviously there's so much uncertainty with all of this as a society, much less in sports as well. But just kind of thinking about the fact that really a week ago was when this started to happen. With the NBA, the Rudy Gobert situation, the next day the NHL responds and suspends their season as well. First off, it's hard to believe that's only been a week ago. And secondly, at the time, like when that happened, I was pretty optimistic that whether it was mid-April or late April, maybe early May, at some point the NHL season was going to resume and we were going to see hockey played again this season. As this week has gone on, I've become less and less sure about that. What's your opinion? How realistic do you think it is that the NHL does not finish this season?
I mean, first of all, it's hard to put a percentage on it because it really isn't up to the NHL to finish the season.
Right.
The things that have to happen are the local governments and local authorities have to lift the restrictions on mass gatherings. I understand why the NHL would want to finish its season. I don't think that it is prudent for them to do so with empty arenas. I think it's kind of counteractive. Like the proposals that are floating around, especially one that was publicized from players yesterday, are designed to maximize the revenue for the rest of the season if they get an opportunity to do so. And, you know, the amount of money that you're leaving on the table in concessions and parking and everything else, if you do this in front of empty buildings, I just don't see it being a path forward. So if they're still not allowed to put fans in the building, at any point in the next 4 months, I mean, it's hard for me to envision them having a season. And then, you know, when you start to consider the travel situations, you know, restrictions today on the ability of people to cross the Canadian border, for example, there's a lot that has to happen to create an environment where the NHL can even conceive coming back. And that's why a lot of these other leagues around the world and here in North America, the minor leagues like the ECHL and the Southern Professional Hockey League have just flat out canceled their seasons because they just don't see a pathway back. And they certainly don't have the, financial wherewithal to continue to pause their season like the NHL can, because the NHL is the only hockey league in the world. It's a $5 billion business. So I still think there's a chance they can come back, but in talking to at least one medical group for an NHL team, I mean, as this thing started last week, they were already saying it's not going to be any time until after June 1st. So the idea that it was going to be May or you know, end of April or something, I think was a bit of a pipe dream.
Greg, your co-host on the Puck Soup podcast and my colleague at The Athletic, Sean McIndoe, had a story the other day where he was looking at all the potential playoff formats he could come up with, from the most sensible to the most bizarre. In my opinion, we were talking about this earlier, Robbie and I would do I would expand the playoff field to 10 teams, 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9, a one-game play-in similar to the Major League wild card game. If you were in charge of determining the playoff format, if the league were to come back, how would you do it?
Yeah, we wrote about that on Monday as well, and the play-in game thing is interesting to me only because I'm such a huge fan of expanding the playoff field right now with play-in games or play-in series, that the idea that you could Trojan horse that idea into a crisis situation like this and have people be like, man, that's fun, let's keep doing that, kind of intrigues me. like it would be beneficial, I think, for those of us who want the playoffs to be expanded in a 32-team league to have this be sort of a proof of concept season for it. But, you know, I think at this point, the concept and the notion is going to just simply be, what can we do to get this thing done as quickly as possible? I think equity goes out the window. I think fairness probably goes out the window. I think at the end of the day, the only thing that you could do is take what's already happened in the season, take the teams based on points percentage, and seed them in the playoffs, one, you know, in each conference, the traditional way that you do, 16 teams, 8 in each, and just go by points percentage. And then, you know, then you get into the conversation of, well, how much runway do we have to complete the playoffs? You know, do we go to 5-game series in the first 2 rounds? Do we drop it down to even like a 3-game series in some cases? I am not a fan of trying to finish this season and having it dramatically impact the timing of next season. I just don't think that makes any sense. So the easiest thing to do is to kind of compress this thing as much as you can, and play in games and play in series might just push this thing out even further.
Greg Wyshynski of ESPN joining us here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Greg, it appeared to be only a matter of time before an NHL player tested positive for coronavirus, and the Ottawa Senators announced last night that indeed one of their players has tested positive for coronavirus. We saw the other day the league made the decision to allow players to return to their home countries or off-season homes instead of quarantining or self-isolating in their NHL cities. When you consider those two things, I mean, it seems likely that at the absolute earliest that the season probably wouldn't even consider being resumed until May. What is your sense of when you think the absolute earliest that we could see the NHL again, if it does indeed return?
Yeah, I mean, that's 2 months from now, I think, is the earliest, just because of the timeline that the NHL has laid out to its players. You know, that's, again, like, I think that's sort of your wait-and-see, reevaluate type deal. It's like when you know, a guy gets an injury and he's out for you know, 4 to 6 weeks, and then we reevaluate after that. Well, we're going to do that with the season. You know, we're going to reevaluate after 8 weeks, see where we are, and then maybe, you know, either move forward or push it out farther. But 8 weeks would seem to be kind of the bare minimum insofar as consideration of when to resurrect the season. The Senators came through Santa Clara County on their most recent road trip. I know there's been people trying to figure out exactly where the exposure could have happened, but I mean, the thing is about the San Jose Sharks is that the recommendation was made by the county to not have mass gatherings. It wasn't at first an outright ban like it ultimately became, but the Sharks played 3 home games after that recommendation, and the Ottawa Senators were one of those games. So, you know, I'm not playing forensic pathologist here or anything, but you kind of connect the dots on where this thing could have occurred for the Senators when they came through California.
Greg, last thing for you here. just for the sake of argument, saying the NHL does return at some point this season, like, how long do the players need to get ready? Like, you know, we mentioned when we talked about the lockout in 2013, you know, they needed a week training camp to get ready and just went right into it. But a lot of those guys were playing hockey before that. In other leagues, they were practicing, they were skating, doing all these things. It's a little bit different of a situation this time around. How much time do you think the players would need to get back into playing shape without risking, you know, injury once they get back and playing what we assume would be a very compressed schedule at that point?
Yeah, I mean, they're working out on their own right now as best they can. I imagine that once we start to see restrictions lifted in some places on people being able to leave their homes, we'll start to see them hit the rinks on their own and do informal skates. A couple of things about the players' health and safety in this situation. First, my colleague Emily Kaplan has reported that, you know, no matter what format they choose with regards to finishing the regular season or the postseason, there's going to have to be a mini camp. The NHLPA is pretty adamant about that. How long that mini camp is, we'll see. But there's clearly going to be some portion of time when these guys get back just to skate, just to get familiar with each other and to get back in playing shape. The other thing to consider, too, is that no matter what format the NHL wants for its regular season and postseason, the CBA mandates that the players sign off on it. So there's not going to be some situation where the NHL is trying to cram too many games into a week and maybe risking the health of guys that haven't been playing hockey for the last two and a half months. The PA is going to have, if not final say, at least equal say in what format they choose. So they're going to be able to kind of determine what format works best for them, with the acknowledgement that they haven't really been all that active in a hockey perspective for the last couple of months.
Greg Wyshynski from ESPN has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Greg, thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate it as always.
You got it, boys. Stay safe.
You too. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. What should the NHL do if and when they're able to return this season? What format should they take? Should they go straight into the playoffs, or should they finish the regular season? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vinyan here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.